We successfully completed our one-mile bridge at the end of last year. And in addition to the one-mile bridge, we also raised 9.7 miles of roadway so that we can raise the water in the L-29 canal and push more water into the park. So if we're able to do that, we can basically increase the flow by about 100%. But of course, that's only going to be about 40% of the natural flow. We have a plan for an additional 5.5 miles of bridging, but that's going to be a pretty expensive undertaking. So at this point, we're focusing on the longest bridge span, which is 2.6 miles, and we've gotten great support from the state of Florida. They're willing to match us on the bridge and hopefully doing a design-build project by the end of 2014.
The one-mile project has only been open a very short period of time. Are you seeing any increased flow?
The bridge actually was completed. We got all the fill out from under the bridge last summer. We're seeing about a 4% increase in flow.
Conservative estimates have the sea level rise about 3 feet, and one of your pictures showed a high pass in the Everglades right at 3 feet. I mean, how do you prepare for that? Or is there anything you can do, or is this kind of disheartening to undergo all these projects to think that it might all be washed away eventually?
The National Academy of Sciences has told us loud and clear the most important thing we can do is bring more fresh water in to kind of keep that salt water at bay and get an ecosystem that's more resilient to the effects of climate change, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
In the past 100 years, we've seen about a 90% drop in the number of wading birds in the area. And, of course, now the big news is on the invasive species. Everybody's talking about the Burmese pythons.
Well, on the pythons, a real challenging issue for us. I like the issue just because I think it draws attention to the huge problem we're faced with exotic species in the Everglades. I spend most of my time on getting the plumbing right, but we know that if we don't deal with exotic species, we won't have a restored Everglades, even if we bring the water back in. So with respect to the python, we've been working hard on the supply side, trying to do everything we can so people don't let them loose in the Everglades. We've had Labradors that actually can find them, but they have a limited capability. They can't really work in the summer. It's too hot, and they can only work on levees and roadways. So we're trying to do anything we can to increase detection. One of the things we're trying to do is look at the use of pheromones to try to figure out a way to attract pythons to us, so to speak, to try to draw them in, and would be a lot easier than trying to find them in the greater Everglades. But that's going to require a big science project and a fair amount of time. So it's kind of risky, but you know, I think it's probably a good investment to really look at pheromones as a way to increase our detection and bring them to us.
Now, the Everglades has basically been looked at as kind of a huge science project, for lack of a better term, for better part of 100 years now. We've finally gotten the public opinion to realize the beauty and the worth of the Everglades. Mm-hmm. Do you feel optimistic about the future at all?
Yeah, I really do feel optimistic. I guess it'd be a cautious optimism, but I think right now we've got a good team with the federal government, the state government, and tribal and local governments. I think we've shown that we can make progress on the ground, which I think is fabulous. I think we've also come to the recognition that in some ways it's not, certainly for the National Park Service, it's not optional. It goes right to the heart of the mission of the Park Service. We know it's important to the economy. We know it's important to the quality of life in South Florida and relates to why many of us live here. The more people who hear about this, who understand that we're making progress, be patient. It's going to take a long time. And I think when we're able to take an action and do some things on the ground and bring the water back, that the system's very resilient.
We've been talking with Dan Kimball, superintendent of Everglades National Park. Thank you for talking to us.
Okay, thank you very much.